There's no clip on the end of this.
No, it's gone.
It's gone, okay, fair enough. How's that? Good stuff. Well, good morning, everybody, and happy New Year to you. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. It's an opportunity, really, as we start a new year. And as I was preparing over the last few weeks around this, it's a very clear message to me that sometimes going back to very simple basics is so important as a reminder for everybody. You know, we just heard in the prayers, we've all been and heard of sicknesses over Christmas and people that have had plans change, and you know, all of a sudden something's come in, sickness bugs and all sorts of stuff, and we're surrounded by this, and it's very easy sometimes to become introspective and insular around all the things that we're surrounded by. But as Christians, we have a bit of a different role to play. And I'm just here as a reminder of the importance of our role, and that's where you want to go through this morning. It's a positive thing, you know. The title that I gave is "Victory is Ours." That's how I started. Victory is ours. Victory is ours. And I wrote out this to me as my statement for the year, that this is going to be a year of victory, both individually, as a family, and as a church. We are more than conquerors. And I'm surrounded by reasons, many, many reasons, that statement could be not true. Okay? Whether it's a work-related thing, as I say, whether it's family sicknesses and things that have gone on, whether it's things we see all around us on the news, the wars, all the things that are happening, there are multiple reasons that would challenge that statement. But the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. So my choice is, this year is going to be a year full of blessing. It's going to be a year that's directed and led by my Father who loves me. He's going to enable me to be a light to this world. He's going to be able to me to show the world the peace that Jesus said he has given me. Jesus said, my peace, not the world's peace, but my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, or neither let them be afraid. It's found in that peace. And the reality is, this world needs that peace. And the closest they're going to get to it, unless they become Christians, is in contact with each one of us that can radiate and demonstrate that peace. So, I came and looked and thought, well, there's three reasons why I can say that statement for 2025 for me. The first would be, it's a positive thing to say. We've all heard of these classes that you go to about being positive speaking and being having a positive attitude. And in its own right, that's not wrong. I'm not going to stand here and say that's a thing, because we also all know the negative people. I used to work in an office in the middle of a factory for 12 years. And I had the PC that kind of looked out onto the main door, and we could see probably about sort of 400 yards, I guess, 500 yards. And there was a guy called Jeff, and the door used to open, and I used to go, on the whole office, the four or five people in the office would all know that Chief Black Cloud was on his way over. Oh, I'll be in a box soon, he says. I'll be in a box soon. That's it. That was his opening statement on a Monday morning. Oh, I don't want to be here. Talk about redundancies for me at the time, he was old. I mean, remember, I was an 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old. He's probably 45, you know. He was talking about being in the box, and he was talking about, you know, retirement, and every opportunity he'd get for redundancies that would come up. And, oh, man, it was like... But But I actually really liked Jeff, and I used to play golf with him a lot, and you know, but he was so negative, and no matter how much I tried to kind of change some of his words, you know, that guy didn't live long. He didn't live long. He didn't get a chance to see out his career at the company I was at, and it was a demonstration to me of somebody that was on that side of just being negative, continual. So we can be positive, and that's a good thing, right? The second one would be because circumstances around me have aligned to give me some positive view. I could have had an email over the Christmas period at work to say that, oh, Stephen, you've had a great year and we're going to give you a pay rise and we're going to, there's a new account now that's going to be opportunity for you, and there's this and there's the other, and oh, and by the way, you won the lottery, or whatever it might be. There could be circumstantial reasons that would make a decision that I could say, this is going to be a victorious year. Or it could be that despite the situations, despite everything around me, despite all of the reasons why I'm not, is that we make a choice by faith to say, that is what I'm going to believe. That is what I'm going to speak over my family. Every morning when those boys leave the house, I say, whatever your hands touch,
what?
You're whole, you're healthy, and you're
strong.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be. Yeah, it's a choice. Joseph came up to me just before Christmas and he went, oh, I've got this today and this today, and RE, believe it or not, I shouldn't say that in church, but RE as well, you know. And Jesse said, it's going to be a good day. And Joseph was like, yes, you're right, it is going to be a good day. Yeah, he gave me the five lessons that he'd got, was five reasons not that it was not going to be a good day. And there's the 8-year-old saying, no, remind yourself, it is going to be a good day. Is that still okay? Yeah. Oh, you can still hit me, can't you? Right. So option three is where I'm going here. As Christians, we have choices, we have decisions, we have to make that call, okay? So, and words. I then looked into words, I thought, you know what, I know. As a Christian, as a kid, when I used to go to church and sit there and cram in the back, I remember my dad as a preacher talking about the importance of words. You know, and I thought, well, you know, we all know this. It's simple stuff, you know. But actually, when I break it down, first of all, creation was by the word of God. Father God said, and God said, let there be light, was the original point of statement of word. Words reflect the heart. Jesus teaches that we speak, reflect the conditions of our heart. It says in Matthew, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Blessings and curses. The Bible emphasizes that words can either bless or curse. In Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is words that impact both ourselves, our lives, and people around us. Guarding our speech. The Bible also advises to be careful with the words. In James 3, the tongue is compared to a small fire that can be set a forest ablaze. And then also, finally, Jesus says in Mark 11:23, tells us to speak to the mountain. He tells us to speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed and thrown into the sea. It's our role here. We have been given the authority with the name of Jesus to speak. We have been given the authority by the name of Jesus to speak. And that's why when Tom stands up here and we're praying for these people that we're bringing, that's what we're doing. We're speaking. We're speaking situations that may involve from anything from a funeral to somebody that has got a cold. Whatever those situations, Father God wants us and desires for us to bring them to his attention in faith. And I say in faith, and this is so important, because one of my friends is a non-Christian, some years back, I remember having a very brief conversation about being a Christian, and he said, oh, give no time for that. And the fundamental reason was, is he went to a funeral for a six-year-old, and the vicar had said it wasn't God's will for this six-year-old to live, in effect. However that was said, the interpretation of that, you can take your chance. The reality is we probably have heard, if it's God's will. And obviously it wasn't God's will in this particular case. Now I know, my Father, because I know that Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The heart of God is demonstration through Jesus, who went around healing the sick, raising the dead. That's what Jesus did. That is the heart of my Father. My Father's desire was to see that girl live and not die, and to fulfill the destiny that he had planned for her. We are in a fallen world and things happen. We are in a fallen world and things don't go aligned to what God's will. I understand that. But the reality is, that's why we are on this earth, to speak life into death situations. And honestly, one of the biggest wins from the devil is to convince Christians that our words are of ill effect. We can't change things. To be passive and to pass over, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. No. No. We know what God's will is. We know that we can say, and if we're not 100% sure and aligned on a situation, we can say, Father, your will be done in this situation. Give me direction. Give me wisdom. If I need to have an impact, or I need to say something, or need to encourage, or to do something, your will be done in this situation, isn't speaking, well, if it's God's will. Almost passive. So, sorry, I'm not having a go. I'm quite passionate when somebody says that, and it really, really can impact for me. And I just feel that it's so important that our words are speaking life. Okay, so. I mean, but speaking positive has to come from a faith, a belief, and something that we actually can stand on. And we need to apply this in faith. So, again, a very basic principle of our Christian walk is this word, faith. And again, I looked at just a few things about what faith was, what would drive somebody to speak these words, these positive things in life, and why. So, first of all, the foundation of belief is faith. Our relationship, our very relationship with God, is based upon that. Hebrews 11 defines this as the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It emphasises God's promises without any physical evidence. Our salvation is based upon that. If we can't believe that we are saved through faith, then we haven't got any position to come to Father God. Faith is also pleasing to God. When we speak these words, when we speak faith, it pleases Him. In Hebrews 11 it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. So when we take the authority, when we speak words into people's lives, Father God is pleased by that. It pleases him, and we all want to please the Father. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Bible's full of examples of faith. There's lists from, we would call the Hall of Fame, from Abraham, Moses, Noah, highlighting their alignment to Father God's plans. Despite Abraham's position of being a 90 plus year old guy, he was told he was going to be the father of many nations. He was told to look at the stars and try and count them, grains of the sand and the earth. he would have this. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Strength and comfort, finally, on faith. Faith provides strength and comfort in times of trial. In Psalm 23, we know that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have the faith to believe that we walk through. We don't stay there. We all have our valleys that we walk through. By faith, we know we go through them. We don't reside on those days. So, the core link here is, first and foremost, is that we're in a situation, in challenging positions that we're going into this year. Each one of us has our own mountains, our own issues, family around us that we desperately want to see either healed or even that people that aren't saved, and we want them to establish and understand that relationship with the Lord so ultimately their eternal destiny is secure. These things our Father knows. These things our Father knows. But he longs for us, by faith, to speak changes in these situations. I call an order in Gemma's dad, Noel, who doesn't know the Lord, and I speak his heart to be softened by the things of the Lord, that opportunities will rise this year for him to come to know you. Desperate. His name's Noel, and he's born on Christmas Day. You know, and I long for that guy. He's got this wall built between him and wanting to know anything about Christ. And he just bats you back. One of those guys that bats you back. So I just say, well, if it's God's will for him to be saved, he will be. Or do I say, no, Lord, I know it's your will. And I call opportunity. I speak him into your kingdom. Speak opportunity. We can't force his decision, but we can create opportunity. We can create the right people across his paths. These boys could be influenced. I pray over them that they can be an influence when they're around granddad's house. The opportunity, and does each one of you have these people in your lives? Daughters, granddaughters, whoever it might be. And we just speak for these. Speak. Take authority for each one of these. Speak it by faith. And then finally, the final bit was faith building. And this for me is, you know, one of those things where we say, right, well, it can be so complex and yet so simple. We've got a mustard seed of faith and we can move a mountain. Yet I almost feel like I need a bucket load or a wheelie bin worth almost, you know, to do that sort of thing. But the reality is that faith, as we know, comes by hearing the good news, right? It comes by hearing, and that hearing isn't just a something's passive. That hearing becomes a knowing. You look at what that verse says. It's in Romans 10. It is something that goes past just your ears. It becomes something that manifests and becomes alive. We know sometimes we go to church and sometimes you can leave here warmer than when you came in. It's not just because of the heat of the room. It's something that comes inside. It's something that knowing inside your spirit. And this is my demonstration of that. So let's just imagine that a particular person says they're going to give you one of your heart's desires. And we're going to do something that's in your heart's desire. That could be to pay someone off. It could be whatever it might be. And the first person that I was to say was going to offer this is this person. This person's going to offer that. Okay? Now hopefully no one knows that person, because this person was a Google search for random man, right? So hopefully no one's going to go, oh, that's Brian from down the road, right? So the idea is that none of us know this person. Absolutely none of us know this person. Or could consider that this person was going to be able to deliver on anything that they would promise. £5,000. They're going to give £5,000 to you. You'd go, I don't know him. There's no belief, there's no faith, there's nothing behind that. There's no character driven behind that that would enable that for you to say. If I said this person was going to give you money, right, or give you something, you'd say, well, I don't know the guy, but I hear a lot about this person. I hear he's wealthy, so I assume that he's got potential. But actually, I also hear about this guy that he can also not necessarily be the most truthful person or whatever. So there could be some consideration there that says, yeah, probably a little bit more value here than here, because I've got nothing about this guy, but I know there's potential with this one. And then we could say, well, what about this person? Yeah, a bit dodgy, right?
Dodgy, yeah.
If anyone doesn't know, that's Neil Hastings, who normally sits on this row here. But you know this person, right, a little bit. So as friends, he's one of my friends. So I can establish this person and say, well, actually, I can start to then rely on this person a little bit because I've got history. I know him. I've known him for the last 8 years. And, you know, he's trustworthy and he's reliable. And, you know, I know a little bit about his history. I know his background and his family and I know his kids. And there's things around that that make it more to me than this guy. Some of you might know this person, but this is my dad. This is my dad. This is their granddad. I've known this guy for 45, nearly 46 years. Yeah. He's reliable. Yeah, he's somebody that I know. I know pretty much everything that he owns. I know what he's capable of. I know his flaws. I know a lot about this person. Because over the years I've spent time with him. I've spent time getting to know him. I've sat, I've talked with him. And I've built this relationship with him where he's reliable, or I certainly know his capacity, even more so than this person, right? And of course, the final one is this one. And the principle about what I'm saying here is, if we're going to speak something into our lives or into our families, or we have to have the faith. But to have the faith, you have to have the knowledge, the understanding, the belief, everything that comes behind that. And it comes from a relationship. It's so simple. Why we're all here this morning. We're all here just to worship, to learn, and to spend time in his presence. He wants that 7 days a week. He wants us to wake up in the morning and be thinking, thank you, Jesus. I don't feel this today. But Lord, I know you love me. I thank you that your will be done in my life today. Direction through the midday when there's a challenge or something's gone on or some phone call comes in and something hasn't quite gone the right way. Maybe we don't feel well. Maybe we're in bed for 3 or 4 days. Whatever it might be, maybe we're waiting for those test results. Whatever it is, we can say, Jesus, I know I'm waiting on these results to come through. But Lord, I know you love me, and I know that you are my healer. And I know that your will is to see me whole. Your will is to see me fulfilling the plans that you have for me. That is your will. So I thank you. By faith, I receive my healing this morning. I receive that peace and that joy that you have for me. I receive that rest this morning. There lies knowledge of him, understanding Jesus and his plans for you. They are plans of good and not bad. They are plans to bless and not destroy. They are plans to guide you through the valley. He is the good shepherd. He is the loving father. So the encouragement this morning is take 2025 as this new year. It's nothing. It's just a calendar date. I get that. continually make that decision just to draw closer to him, to get to know him even more than my dad, become more reliable than my father in this world, who can be unreliable. Yeah, we're supposed to go up his at Christmas and he was not very well, so we can go up. It's unreliable, isn't it? Let the kids down, he did. But become more reliable than my wife. Become more reliable than that person who's the closest to you. He can be that if we allow him. If we allow him, if we draw upon him, if we spend time with him. Thank you. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I thank you that as we go into this year as a church, as a body, the Lord, that we can just seek you diligently, Lord. We can seek you and seek your will in our lives. Not for what we can get in our right hand, Lord, but Lord, that what you can do through us. Your word is alive, it's active, and it's full of power. And you have given us the name Jesus. Your word says that those words that we speak will not return void. So we choose life. We choose to speak life. Lord, we call this village. And we call this village and we draw this village to you, Lord. That this church will be as a light, Lord. And it will radiate your peace. It will radiate your joy. And Lord, it will draw people. Draw the children, Lord. Draw them to this body. And allow us every day, each and every day, to be those lights in our own families and our own friend group. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand this thing, shall we?
Thank you.
I'm going to join the Brethren Church.